Chapter 27, But Now I See. November 2017. Twice a week, my therapist and I sat across from each other in our study, exercising demons. My kids were at school, and Eric would busy himself to give me space. I told her the stories that I've shared with you, and in the beginning, I could rattle off the facts of the things that happened, standing outside of the girl next door as she went through the experiences. Eventually, I could examine that girl's feelings closely enough to better understand them and how they informed her choices. With work, that girl and I were one again, and I allowed myself to feel the traumas I'd been through. The sessions left me scooped out, and my kids got used to me being extra huggy on certain days. Not just needing the sureness of them, but valuing it. Any homework she gave me, I wanted an A++++, so when my therapist prescribed an antidepressant, I took it right away. But I didn't like how it made me feel and went off of it under her supervision. I sensed that, for me, I needed to work to figure out the roots of my problems, and they weren't chemical. "I think it's situational depression," I told Eric on one of our post-therapy walks around the neighborhood. It was just a long situation. Without alcohol, the clarity I'd feared turned out to be a continual gift. When I was drinking, I'd been confused by how I was going to juggle work and parenting. Because it was exhausting the way I would drink, it took time away from real life. Now I had room for so many wonderful moments that I would have missed, either because of the carelessness with which I treated my body or because I was too numb to appreciate them. I took mental snapshots to keep in my heart. Sober for the first time ever in my studio and seeing Maxwell grab a guitar. Ace in pajamas he put on himself, proudly putting a sticker on his bedtime chart. My husband and I rediscovering each other, feeling that same gratitude over finding each other that we had when we first met. That my husband stopped drinking with me was powerfully romantic, even if Hallmark doesn't have a card for it. Or maybe they do. It saved our marriage, or at least saved us from the stupid fights that didn't need to happen. Things said that didn't deserve to be said because it was the alcohol talking, not the heart. I was sober and I was feeling. This is what it felt like to be living. This is what I was running away from? I began to open up to people and came out of hiding mode. One of the first tests was a girls' night out at a restaurant. I think we were all nervous about how we were going to handle me not drinking when we were all together. The first minutes were strange. Everyone could read how anxious I was. Then the waiter came over with the wine list. They all started to say at once, "I'll have water." I cried happy tears, and just like my birthday, they each told me how grateful they were that I had saved myself. Still, I dreaded hosting Thanksgiving and Christmas, unsure that I could handle the holidays sober. I was so happy my father had beaten that bout of cancer. Still, seeing my parents together but apart would be like surgery with no anesthesia once again. There was no alcohol in the house, so I didn't know what I would do. Instead, at each gathering, I watched them be careful of each other, still doing the dance of trying to avoid prolonged contact, but doing so in a respectful way. "It was you, Jess," I thought. They were more over each other than I was over them being apart. It was me who needed to catch up. I collected the days sober along with all these new memories. When I hit 90 days, I went right into the studio after to write. A new song, Heartbeat, came out so easy, and I finally felt unblocked. I could put words to feelings again and make them mean something for other people. That was what would matter now. And my prayer was constant. "Lord, use me." I'd been selfish with my time and careless with my life. Now I wanted to give back and have a life of purpose again. In my life, I want to be a role model for people, especially my children. They have to know that they can always count on me. I am so grateful that I stopped in time and resisted the forces that were carrying me away from them. I made plans with my friend Coco, whose husband is in the service, to do something to help military families. In April, to honor the month of the military child, we went to a Dillard's in Nashville to host a day of pampering for Army wives and daughters from Fort Campbell, right on the Kentucky-Tennessee border. We gave them all hair and makeup services, and I got to style each one in our spring 2018 line and our girls' line. I brought Eric along, and even though he was right there with me, I kept retelling him all the stories women shared about what their families had gone through. He was looking at me differently. He'd seen me, the real me he remembered, back in action. But sometimes I still threw him. The following month, I announced I wanted to take the kids to Disneyland. "Are you kidding?" asked Eric. He's not an amusement park kind of guy. He also knew that I had been thinking a lot about my failed Mickey Mouse Club auditions and all the times I'd worked grad nights watching kids my age go off to live normal lives. "Why would you want to go back there?" "It will be part of my healing," I said with a completely straight expression. "I need to face my demons." He gave me a look of, "Seriously, is she okay?" And then I let myself laugh. "I think the kiddos will love it." We got in the late afternoon and planned to do the park the next day. We were at the pool in the hotel, and this middle-aged woman came up to me. She was frantic. "Oh my God, Britney Spears," she yelled in a Midwestern accent. "I love you so much." My kids were in the pool staring at the scene. I was like, of course this would happen to me. Britney steals even this Disney moment, right there in front of my kids. "Ma'am," I said calmly, "I'm sorry, but I'm not Britney Spears." "Yes, you are," she said. "We're taking a picture." "But I swear I'm not." She already had her face next to mine, her arm outstretched to get a good selfie with Britney. I was not about to say I'm Jessica Simpson, so I smiled and laughed about it for the rest of the night. The next day, I wore the vintage Mickey Mouse shirt they gave us at the first day's tryouts in Dallas. I brought Ashley along, just like I had done back then, and she brought her two kids. I wore Minnie Mouse ears and kept them on the whole time. My excitement had a lot of people looking at me, and instead of shrinking, I smiled and said hi to everybody, hugging characters along the way. Eric had never seen this side of me, and I was the most over-enthusiastic Disney mom there ever was. "I think you're having more fun than the kids," Eric said. I had only gone in and out for work whenever I'd visited, so I hadn't realized how much walking was involved. I'd worn heels, of course, sky-high platform heels. But by the end of the day, I had to give in and buy some $20 Star Wars flip-flops from a little kiosk. As I was inside trying to decide between Princess Leia or Yoda Javianas, I heard a voice behind me. "Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed." I turned. It was the woman from the pool. She was with a man I guessed was her husband because they matched. "I literally thought about this all night," she said, coming closer. "You're Jessica Simpson." I smiled and she kept going. "I prayed to God, me and my husband. We had to pray a lot," he said. "That we would see you so I could apologize," she said. "It's really not a big deal." "Jessica Simpson," she said solemnly, "can I have a picture with you?" "Only if you smile," I said. She handed her husband the phone and we took a picture. I hugged her goodbye and held up the Yoda flip-flops. "May the force be with you," I said. That night, I was in such a good mood that at 10 o'clock, I wasn't having any of the nerves that nighttime usually brought me. Our children were all in bed asleep, worn out by the day. Ash and I were kids again, snuggled on the couch. "Jessica, I don't want to make fun of you or anything," she said slowly. "But you still have your ears on." I reached up to feel the mini ears and smiled as I took them off. "I love you, Ash," I said, snuggling closer to her. "I'm so glad you're here with me." "Me too," she said. I thought back on how all those years ago we were each other's protectors in the night. Me saving her from abuse and after her keeping the demons of the dark away from me. I am so grateful for the bond we have. I stood backstage at the Pacific Amphitheater, smoothing my dress and shuffling in my cowboy boots. It was August 9th, and Willie Nelson had invited me to perform with him at his OC Fest show. I'd talked to him about what I'd been through, and I was so glad that my first time on stage in so many years would be with him. Maxwell and Ace, still 6 and 5, had never seen me perform, and they were with Eric in the audience. I was so excited for them to see me. "Oh, that's what Mommy does," I imagined them realizing. They played my Christmas albums all summer, but this would be different. Willie and I were going to sing "You're Full," a song I wrote with producer John Shanks after pouring my heart out to him about what my friendship with Willie has meant to me. It has a line I came up with in Maxwell's room putting her to bed. She had stars on her ceiling, and I always told her I'd lasso them down for her. Backstage, I listened as Willie sang his songs for the sold-out crowd. I cried a little through "Always on My Mind" and dried my tears during the fun instrumental 12th Street Rag. "We got a special treat coming up for y'all," he said. "Our good buddy Jessica Simpson and I are going to sing a song together, and we'd like to get her out here today." I walked on stage, shy at first, but all the cheers and Willie's smiling face made me realize I was home. As I started to sing our duet, "You're Full," the cheers and whoops got louder, and I spotted Eric and the kids in the front. "I'll be that one true friend," Willie sang to me. "You know you're stuck with me." I was so grateful to be in that moment. And the song ended. I said, "Thank you, Willie. I love you, Jess." I floated off stage. He closed the concert with a fast medley of "Will the Circle Be Unbroken" and "I'll Fly Away," two songs that remain near and dear to my heart. They used to make me sad in uncertain times in my life, but now they made me happy because I found my forever in my husband and children. After the concert, Ace looked at me like he had no idea I was a superhero, and I picked him up to hug him. "I love you so much," I said, and his eyes shined. Maxwell peppered me with questions. "That's the man I listened to when I was a baby?" she asked. "Yeah, honey." "And you said you'd lasso the stars just like you told me." "Always," I said, hugging her. "Always." Eric hugged me, placing his hand on my stomach. I put my hand over his and smiled at him. We had a secret. One that had come as a happy surprise to us. When we found out, what we'd been going through made sense. We needed to clear the way for a new life. We were about to be a family of 5.